Matthew chapter number 2. Of course, at the end of chapter number 1 is the announcement of the birth of Christ. In fact, on Tuesday evening for the Christmas Eve service, I'll be focusing on a portion of that, finishing that last part of Matthew chapter number 1 on Tuesday evening. But this morning, I want to look at chapter number 2 and look at these first 12 verses of this passage of Scripture as we consider these wise men that are mentioned here in this portion of Scripture. And I want you to understand that as they arrived into Jerusalem, that these wise men, and of course many times in several different aspects of the Christmas season decorations and things, they refer to it as being three wise men because there are three gifts. But the true condition is that we really don't know how many. We know that it's plural, that they're wise men, so we know it's more than one. I personally believe it was probably a whole lot more than three, just because they had three gifts to present. I believe it was more than three. I can't prove that biblically, but I believe that as you look at the portion of Scripture, that it's interesting that when they arrive in Jerusalem, that they ask a question and then they make a declaration. The question that they ask, notice in verse number 2, where is he that is born King of the Jews? That's a great question, isn't it? And we understand as we dig in this morning, we'll get into the text and give you some thoughts and points and what have you. But I want you to just consider for a moment the question that they ask, where is he that is born King of the Jews? And I'm thankful that our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, God in flesh, that He is King of kings and Lord of lords. We find that even at His very birth, that He is referred to by these wise men as they inquire, they ask the question, where is he that is born King of the Jews? He came to his own, but his own received him not. That's what the Bible teaches us, amen. Salvation is of the Jews first, but also the Gentiles. I'm thankful if you read the book of Romans and you understand the principle of the Jews rejecting Christ, but the Gentiles being grafted in. Now understand that was always the plan of God. You read through the Old Testament, you can understand that he was going to die for the sins of all humanity, that all the Gentiles would even know. But of course, he came to the Jews first, but the Jews received him not. And what a blessing to understand I have been able to receive the gospel message because of their rejection, and what a blessing to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But he asked the question, these wise men, they asked the question, where is he that is born King of the Jews? Again, what a great question. But then I want you to find that immediately following the question, they make a declaration. And really, it's the declaration that they make that's going to be the focus of our message this morning. Notice what it says, for we have seen his star in the east, and then notice this, and are come to worship him. We are come to worship him. That's the title for the message this morning. We have come to worship him. I hope that you came to this place this day for the purpose of worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. He alone is worthy of our worship, and we understand that as we look at this passage of Scripture and we see the declaration that these wise men made with regard to their purpose of their travels, they say, we are come to worship Him. We could go back, we won't take the time this morning to go back to the book of Numbers and to read in the 24th chapter about the star that's mentioned there, the prophetical reference. And obviously these men that came from the east, these wise men, because of the Babylonian captivity, they would have been exposed to the Hebrew truth and religion and even the Pentateuch. And it's amazing how our God, who is just in control of all things, allowed all those things to come together just as they did. But I want to focus this morning at looking at these wise men. Notice in verse number 1, the Bible says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king, and it's interesting, you see in verse number 2, the king is capitalized, right? Because he is King of kings, he's the Lord, it's deity. But then you see in verse number 3, Herod the king, it's lowercase because he's just an earthly figure, he's just a temporal king. And the Bible says that he was troubled This man, Herod, he was troubled about a lot of things. He was kind of a messed up individual. If you read about his life, he had all kinds of problems. But he hears these wise men that enter into Jerusalem, and they ask the question, where is he that is born king of the Jews? Well, this was unnerving and unsettling for Herod. They say, we come to worship him. And Herod is now troubled. And the Bible says, in all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, now understand for a moment what Herod does in verse number 4. He really gathers the religious people together, the religious leaders. The Bible says that he gathered the chief priest and the scribes of the people together. And then he made this demand of them. He demanded of them where Christ should be born. Now it's interesting, for we find that the Bible says in verse number 2 that the question is, where is he that is born king of the Jews? And then it says that we have come to worship him. And he, Herod, after he gathers together these religious leaders, the chief priests and the scribes, he demands of them, notice, where Christ should be born. That's the Messiah. Amen. And you follow you track. Remember Paul, as he's preaching the book of Acts, that this Jesus, he is the Christ. He is the Messiah, the promised one. And they said unto him in verse number 5, these religious leaders, they respond and they say, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. They knew the prophecy. They knew Micah. That's what they're going to reference in verse number 6, Micah 5 and verse 2. And they knew the prophecy. But it's interesting, not only did they have the book of Micah, but they would have had the book of Daniel as well. And you find that in the book of Daniel, there's great prophecy with regard to the timing of Christ's birth, Micah with the place of Christ's birth. And we find that they, although they had the prophecies, they had those available to them, they were not looking for Messiah. They weren't looking for him. It says in verse number 6, and thou, Bethlehem, referencing Micah 5:2, in the land of Judah art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. We're going to continue reading through the end of verse number 12 as we get through the message this morning. But let's dive in this morning. If you're taking notes, number 1, I want you to note their desire. Note the desire of these wise men. It's really revealed to us in verse 2. I've shared it by way of introduction. Their desire is to worship. That's their desire. I want you to think about this clearly stated reason that they give in verse number 2 with regard to their traveling, with regard to their purpose. Their desire is to worship Jesus. The Bible teaches us many things about worship, and we'll reference several of those things in just a moment. But let me remind you what the word worship means. It means to adore. It means to pay divine honors to. It means to reverence with supreme respect and veneration. The word worship really is a word that's derived from the idea of worthship and somebody that's being worthy. And of course, we understand that the Lord Jesus Christ, He alone, God alone, is the one to be worshiped. And so we see this word worship, and you find that how they would use the word, notice very specifically, they say, we are come to worship Him, speaking specifically of where is he that is born King of the Jews, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, God in flesh. We understand this morning that the only one who is worthy of our worship is God, that throughout the Old Testament, the people of God are instructed to worship the Lord only. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. You should not bow down before any idols. I mean, you think about all of the instruction in the Old Testament with regard to the importance of worshiping God, but also the teaching throughout the Old Testament of refraining from worshiping anything or anyone else. God alone is to be worshiped. In fact, you find that during the Babylonian captivity, when Nebuchadnezzar is in power and he has the book of Daniel's being written, and we have that account when he builds that great idol structure, and we find that he says of those that we're going to play the music, and when we do, bow down and worship. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they refused to worship. Why? Because they understood biblical principle. They understood that only God is to be worshiped. They understood that it was not appropriate for them to worship this false idol that had been constructed by Nebuchadnezzar, this image that he had demanded that all the people worship. And so their refusal of worshiping this image was really in obedience to God's command. Furthermore, I want you to understand that Jesus made this plainly evident to us in Matthew chapter 4. If you hold your place in Matthew 2, look at Matthew 4 just for a moment. And in Matthew chapter number 4, we have the record of Christ being led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And we find that in this passage of Scripture, there's many things that are revealed to us. Of course, a great takeaway from Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11, is the importance of understanding the use of the sword of the Spirit in order to go against the attack of the enemy, and how we must know the Word of God, because the enemy is going to come and he's going to tempt and he's going to try to cause us to sin. And oh, we need to know the truth of God's Word, and we need to be able to use the sword of the Spirit effectively. And continuously, in each account, the Lord Jesus Christ says, "It is written. It is written. It is written." And how important that is for us. But I want you to notice in the third account, in verse number 8, the Bible says, "Again, the devil taketh him," speaking of Jesus, "up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them." And notice what he says. "He saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Now you understand, we don't have time this morning, but if you were to go back to the Old Testament, Isaiah and Ezekiel, you'll find that the reason that Lucifer fell is because he desired to be like God. He had a pride issue. "I will be like the Most High." He wants, even still today, he wants worship. But he doesn't deserve worship. He's not worthy of worship, and we ought not worship him. And we find that he, Satan, Lucifer, the created being, the devil, as we refer to him today, that he says to Jesus while he's tempting him in the wilderness, that "I'll give you all these things if you fall down and worship me." Notice what the Bible says in verse number 10. "Then Jesus saith unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written." What is written? "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." It's very plain, is it not? Jesus understood this truth. It's very clearly indicated to us in verse number 10 of Matthew chapter 4 that Jesus clearly understood that God alone is the one to be worshipped. "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." We find that throughout the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, but starting here in Matthew chapter number 2, we find that many occasions Jesus receives worship. Why? Because he's God. Because he's God. If he knew, and he stated plainly in Matthew chapter number 4, "Listen, the only one you're to worship is God," but then he allows people to worship him, that would be a problem if he's not God. Do you remember, if you read the book of Revelation, there are times in which you see that John is ready to fall down and worship an angel. And you know what an angel says? "No, no, no, get up. No, worship God. God's the only one to be worshipped." We find this morning that as we look at this passage of Scripture and begin to understand what's unfolding before us, that these wise men, they have a desire to worship God, to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. We have come to worship. I wonder this morning that as we go through our lives and we think about the truth of worship and the desire of these wise men this morning, I wonder how often do we truly have the desire to worship the Lord? Again, as we come to church, when we gather, we're not gathering as some social event, as some club or whatever. No, we're coming with the express stated purpose that we're coming to worship the Lord. He is worthy of our worship, and we come with hearts that are prepared. We come with spirits that are ready, that I'm ready to worship the Lord, that when I lift my voice and sing, listen, singing is part of worship. Amen? I love to sing. I've shared this before from the pulpit. It bothers me. I've seen it many times over my life of being in church. It bothers me when there's a guest speaker in the church, an evangelist or a missionary, and during the time in which we're singing, they're going over their sermon notes or they're talking to somebody else, and it's like, no, we're worshiping the Lord. You had all week to prepare your sermon, amen? Like, we're worshiping. Singing is part of worship. Giving is part of worship. What a joy it is to be able to worship the Lord with our first fruits that we can. Why do we have to pass an offering plate? We get to worship God through our giving, and what a blessing and what a privilege that we can worship, adore Him in that fashion. In that manner. So therefore, during the time of offering, during the time of singing, it's all geared up to worshiping the Lord and getting me in that place where I'm understanding I'm not here, I'm not singing for them or for whoever, I'm not giving so someone else can see. No, I'm worshiping the Lord. And that's my heart's desire. And these wise men, they desired to worship. I just wonder this morning, as we consider the truth, the first thought with regard to these wise men, how is our desire? It's our desire to worship the Lord. Number two, we see their determination. These thoughts all go hand in hand and together. We see that their desire is to worship, but then we see their determination, and really their desire is revealed in verse 2, but we must go back to verse number 1 to really grasp the depth of their determination. The Bible says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. They mention in verse number 2 that we have seen his star in the east. We do not know exactly how long it was that these wise men traveled. We do not know exactly from the place in which they began their journey, but we understand that they traveled a long distance. In fact, that we stop reading in verse number 6, but if you find in verse 7 that Herod calls those wise men, it says, when he had privily called the wise men, he inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Of course, Herod is lying in verse number 8. We understand that as you read the entirety of the passage in Matthew chapter 2, but if you read the latter part and understand what Herod did after he understood that he was mocked and all that took place, in verse number 16 of Matthew 2, the Bible says, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were born in Bethlehem and all the coasts thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. So we don't know exactly. I believe that there's some clue here with regard to how long of a travel, of a journey, it took these wise men to travel, because they asked the question, Herod asked the question, when did the star appear? He diligently inquired of them, according to verse number 7, and then told them to go and search. When he found out that he was mocked, and again, there's a period of time between them not returning from Bethlehem back to Jerusalem to report of that, but he decides, we're going to make sure we get him, quote unquote, and we're going to kill every male child 2 and under. Now, some people, and I'm going to share with you my thought here this morning, some people take that to think that that means that the wise men didn't get there when Jesus was just born, that he was a toddler. The problem with that is that they're in Bethlehem still. And at 8 days, guess what they did? They went to Jerusalem so that Jesus could be circumcised. And guess where they were not from? They were not from Bethlehem. Why were they in Bethlehem? Well, because of the taxing. That's why they were there. And so you read through the accounts, if you read all of the gospel accounts together and begin to piece things together, we do not know the exact timeline with regard to all of the details, but we find here that there had to be a lengthy journey of these wise men as they saw the star appear. And of course, as they travel, the traveling at that particular time, as they traveled from the east to Jerusalem, it would be met with many obstacles and hardships, many difficulties, but yet they were determined to continue to press on. They were determined to reach their destination. Why? because of their desire. You know, your desire will impact your determination in so many arenas of life. You have a desire to succeed in some arena of life, whether it's athletics or academics or whatever it is, a career, a job, a promotion. You have that desire, and you're desiring it. It's going to impact your determination. And I believe this morning that the determination of these wise men is given to us. We're understanding their determination. Why were they so determined? Why did they not just turn back? Why did they continue to go on? Because their desire was to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And that desire was so deep in their heart that they were determined, no matter how complicated, difficult the journey might be, no matter how many hardships would come along the way, the obstacles mattered not. Why? Because they wanted to get to Jerusalem to worship. What a joy to think about that this morning, their determination. I asked this morning, how's our desire? But then we must also ask ourselves, how determined are we to get to worship the Lord? I was speaking with someone just a few weeks ago and having a conversation. Actually, it was with someone not even from our church. They go to another church here in Virginia, and a good church, solid church, and I was chatting with them, and we were talking about various things with regard to church, and something came up about families with young children. And if you're in that situation this morning, or if you've been in that situation in the past, you understand how complicated sometimes it is to be able to get to church. And I mentioned this to the individual by way of conversation. I said, you know, when our children were little, it always kind of seemed like that Saturday nights were the hardest. I mean, they'd sleep real good on Monday night and Tuesday night and Thursday night, whatever. But man, Saturday night just seemed like there's always some kind of something going on. There's an obstacle. There's something that comes up in the way. And it just seemed that way. And I never charted it. I never kept a calendar to be able to prove how many of those nights or whatever. But the reality is that the enemy wants to keep us from coming and worshiping the Lord. There are people today that say, well, you can just worship God by yourself. The reality is that you can, but there's something special about corporate worship. There's something not only special, but there's something ordained by God about corporate worship. Well, I can pray by myself at home. You can, and you should. Amen? But there's something about corporate worship. Many of you have said to me personally, you know, I'm thankful for live stream, but it's just not the same. Why? Because you're just sitting at home. Are you hearing the message? Sure you are, but it's not the same. I've watched live stream. When I was real sick back in March and couldn't be here, the first time, the first Sunday in 13 years that I wasn't able to preach because I was sick. And I sat over there on live stream and I hated every single second of it. And it wasn't because of the preacher. Amen? It wasn't because of the preacher. It's because I couldn't be with the people of God and worshiping God corporately. There's something about corporate worship. And we ought to be determined. Why? Because our desire is that we want to get there to worship the Lord. And I have that determination. Oh, but this happened and that happened. I understand. The enemy is subtle. The enemy is relentless. But we got to be determined. You think these wise men just had an easy passage? No, there were obstacles. Travel in those days was extremely difficult, especially over such distance. Not only the distance, but I have seen personally the terrain. I've been there. I've seen the distance between Jerusalem and Bethlehem. I've seen between Jerusalem and the Dead Sea to the east. I've seen it. I've been on a bus and I've driven from that area. And we got out, we made some stops, and we saw the hills, but then also the valleys and the mountains and all of these things. And listen, it's not easy travel. But they were determined. They were determined. I wonder this morning, how determined are we? I mean, you say, well, we're here. I know. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're determined to worship. But listen, don't let the enemy mess with your desire that then messes with your determination. Just determine, I'm going to worship the Lord. I got that desire. I just want to come and worship. I was reading through the last couple of days. I've been reading in my personal Bible study or personal Bible reading through the book of Nehemiah. read the Bible through a couple of times this year, then read the New Testament and finished up the New Testament, I don't know, a few days ago for the third time, and then decided that I'd go ahead and just read a couple of Old Testament books. And Nehemiah was the one that I started reading through a few days ago. And I read this morning in Nehemiah chapter 10, and it's kind of interesting if you understand some things about Nehemiah, you find that it's a post-exilic book. In other words, after the captivity, and there's a remnant that can return. Of course, they're rebuilding the walls and so on and so forth. But you find that in chapter 9 especially, you begin to read about various things with regard to understanding how gracious and merciful God is, and certainly He is, and how much they had failed the Lord, and certainly they did, and they were judged because of it. You come to chapter 10 and you start reading, and it's very interesting because a people that experience such hardship, the Bible says of those people in Nehemiah 10, I was reminded of Hebrews 10 when I read it this morning, but in Nehemiah chapter 10, in verse number 39, the Bible says this, as they're making this covenant with the Lord, it says at the end, and we will not forsake the house of our God. We will not forsake the house of our God. You know, there was a time when they were in Babylonian captivity where they couldn't come and worship. It was taken away from them, that privilege. And when it was removed from them and they were not able to, and then after the exile, after all that takes place, they go back, they say, we will not forsake the house of our God. Remember Hebrews 10 and verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And this morning, when we have the privilege of being able to gather together, we see in these wise men this morning, we see their desire, we see their determination. They were determined because of their desire. We have come to worship. Number three, as we continue back in Matthew chapter 2, I want you to notice their delight, their delight. In verse 8, after having the conversation with Herod, they're sent on their way to Bethlehem. And the Bible tells us, now understand, they arrived in Jerusalem, but we know Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And there's a journey between the two places. It's about a 5.5-6 mile journey, if you will. And we find that as they would then take out and set on to Bethlehem, according to verse number 8, notice the Bible says in verse 9, when they had heard the king, they departed. And notice what the Bible says, and lo, the star. That was the star that brought them to Jerusalem in the first place, according to verse number 2. And it says in verse number 9, and behold the star, lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, notice the Bible says, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Verse number 10, we find that the star, and you find how God is working through this entire process, because as they're following the star, according to verse number 9, and they departed from Jerusalem, and they go, and the Bible tells us that the star came and it stood over where, at the house where Jesus was. Where was Jesus born? Well, he was born in a manger, but now he's in a house. And again, that makes sense logically. Why? Why were there no rooms in the inn? Well, because of the taxation. But after people paid their taxes, they went back to their place of living. They went back to their homes. And so now there's some occupancy available. She just had a child. They find a place. And the Bible tells us that they see the star. And notice in verse 10, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. I mean, isn't that an awesome statement? I mean, the rejoicing of these wise men when they see all that's unfolded, and their desire was to worship, and their determination led them on this lengthy journey, and they get to the place, and even before they go in, see, because it wasn't completely satisfied at this point. They had not yet seen the Lord Jesus Christ. They had not yet worshiped Him, but they're already rejoicing. The Bible says that they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. This morning, when you woke up this morning, and often I'm praying here in the church, and I prayed various time of whatever the particular morning is on Sunday morning. Sometimes it's a couple of hours, sometimes a few hours before the Sunday school hour will begin. And I'll pray this way, Lord, as our folks are getting up this morning, would you help them to have just a joy about the Lord's day? Would you help them to have an excitement, an anticipation about the privilege that we have to gather together on the Lord's Day to worship? Would you help us, Lord, to be in that right spirit, that right frame of mind? And I pray, and in my mind, that's why when you move seats, it kind of messes with me a little bit, because in my mind, I pray for each of you by name, and I go through by where you sit. And that's how I pray. And then when you move on me, I'm like, hold on a minute. They're sitting over there and they're supposed to be over there. And the reality is that I pray for you by name, and I pray that God would help us to come with that joy that I get to worship God today corporately with my brothers and sisters in Christ. And we have that as these wise men, they rejoice with exceeding great joy. Why? Because they're about to step over the threshold and they're going to see God in flesh. And they're going to worship Him. And this is their delight. We get to church, man, it's a delight. You say, you have no idea what it took me to get here this morning. Some of you, it took a lot more than others. I just had to walk across this morning. And actually, I walked down the driveway and then up the driveway because I don't like walking through the grass. But the reality is that sometimes it's a challenge, as we mentioned with the wise men. It's a man that seemed like everything that could go wrong went wrong. Now, don't raise your hand and tell, but you know how that happens sometimes. Everything that could go wrong went wrong. And we just barely made it. But man, we made it. And we get to worship the Lord. The Bible tells us that they rejoice greatly, but then notice really the pinnacle, if you will, in verse number 11. The Bible says, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. I can't even begin to understand the emotions that these wise men must have had at this particular moment. The journey that they took, their determination to get there, their desire to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, where is He that is born King of the Jews? And they enter into the house, and the Bible says that they saw the young child with Mary's mother. Over in Luke chapter 2 and verse number 27, we find that here the Bible is giving us the truth with regard to the adoration of the Lord Jesus Christ when they were in Jerusalem. And so notice the Bible talks to us in verse number 21 of Luke 2 about when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child. His name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him where? To Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Now that would have been, according to the book of Leviticus, verse number 22, would have been 40 days after the birth of Christ. That's fulfilling the law. That's what it would have been. You can go back to Leviticus 12 and look through that and see that. But that would have been the process. Again, the Bible plainly states that they were in Jerusalem. But skip down as you find in verse number 24. The Bible says, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And notice the Bible says in verse 26, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. By the way, that's a great promise that he was given, this man Simeon. And in verse 27, it says, and he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Now, I come here to Luke chapter number 2 because it says, of course, if you follow the process, he was circumcised according to verse 21. Verse 22, they're there offering the days of her purification were accomplished according to the law of Moses. They bring, and it's 40 days after the birth of Christ. And in verse 27, the Bible says that they brought in the child, Jesus. In Matthew chapter 2, the Bible says when they saw the young child. I only bring that up because people get all kinds of confused where it's not the word baby or infant, but this word young child in the Greek can mean a variety, really anyone under about the age of 5. And so it's absolutely appropriate. We find that they come in and they see Jesus. God in flesh. He's just in a cradle at this point, just a few days old. We don't know exactly. We find that Mary was there. And the Bible says that they fell down and worshiped him. They fell down and worshiped him. We find that their delight is revealed to us in these verses of Scripture, for this was the very purpose of their journey. This was the whole intent. I mean, they get to the place where they've reached and been able to do exactly what they set out to do. They see Jesus. They fall down and worship him. Understand, they don't worship Mary. They don't worship anyone else. They worship Jesus. Why? Because he alone is worthy of our worship. He's God. And the Bible says that they fell down and worshiped him, and then notice when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto who? Unto him, Jesus, gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. The significance of the gifts is obvious. We won't take time this morning to focus on that as much. But we find here that they fell down and worshiped him, the Lord Jesus Christ, and they opened their treasures and they presented unto him gifts. These men, these wise men, they came prepared. They were prepared to worship. See, their purpose, their desire was that we're coming to worship. Where is he that is born, King of the Jews? We've seen his star in the east, and we are come to worship him. That is their desire. They're determined. So they go and they take the journey and they face every obstacle and hardship and they overcome whatever needs to be overcame so that they can come to the place where Jesus is, and they get there, but they're prepared to worship. You know, the preparation for worship is so important, that our hearts are right with God, that we come to that place where we're prepared to worship the Lord. We worship him in his holiness and his beauty. We worship him for who he is. We truly stand in awe of who God is. The purpose of the service structure and the singing is to prepare our hearts as we're worshiping the Lord, and we're worshiping him through song. And you find so many times throughout the Scripture the place of music and how we're to use music to worship the Lord, and it prepares our hearts to receive the truth from God's Word. The goal of preaching is not only to give the truth of God's Word and to open it up and just, you don't want to come and just wax eloquent. No, you want to come so that we can worship the Lord, so we speak about how great our God is and how worthy our God is. And yes, throughout the preaching, there are times in which we're convicted about various things in our lives that must be adjusted and changed and repented of and so on and so forth. But all of that is in focus of worshiping our God. Because he's worthy. He's worthy. And it's a delight. You know, it's a privilege that God gives us the opportunity to worship him. We're going to worship him. If you're saved this morning, you'll worship him for all of eternity. You read the book of Revelation, you read through various passages of Scripture in the book of Revelation, you find we're going to worship him for all of eternity. But we get to worship him today. We get to worship him. And the Bible says that these men, obviously, they were prepared, for they opened up their treasures. And so they then present to him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And they came prepared with those gifts, and they presented those gifts to the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know, you don't know how long they would have stayed here. But we find that the Bible says in verse number 12, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. I want you to think about verse number 12. And the Bible says that they were warned of God in a dream. And God, obviously, now we have the whole canon of Scripture, so there's no new revelation by visions and dreams and so on and so forth. But we find that until the canon of Scripture was completed, that God often would reveal things to people through dreams and visions. And we find here that these wise men, they were being warned of God in a dream. By the way, if Jesus was not God and he was not worthy of worship, God would not have warned them to depart some other way. God would have rebuked them for worshiping that which they were not to worship. Amen? But God warned them. See, they did what they were supposed to do. They worshiped the Lord, and God warned them that they should not return to Herod. So why did God warn them? Well, because Herod was lying to them, and Herod said, when you find him, come and let me know so that I can come and worship him also. You know, the enemy is cunning, deceitful, subtle. The Bible describes in Genesis 3, more subtle than any beast of the field. And here, listen, we need God's discernment, amen, because the enemy says, hey, let me know so I can come and worship him also. And God warns, no, that's not Herod's intent. Herod is a wicked man. He's not going to worship Jesus. And we find that they're warned, and so what do? They obey. They depart into their own country another way. This morning, just in closing, as we begin to think about this passage of Scripture from this perspective this morning and seeing these wise men and their desire, their determination, and their delight, I want you to understand that they left their home in verse number 1. As we began this study this morning in Matthew chapter 2, the Bible says that there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. So they left their place that they knew. They left their home and they travel. They're determined to get to where Jesus is because they desire to worship him. And then at the end of the passage, after they worship the Lord, after they present the gifts, the Bible says that they then return where? To their own country. Another way. I want you to think about it in this manner this morning. We gather together for worship. We all came from a different place this morning. We all have a different story and a different journey. Some got saved when you were little, young. Some got saved when you were older. Maybe if there's someone here this morning not saved, I would say to you that today is the day of your salvation. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ today. But I want you to understand something, that we all came from our homes this morning. So I didn't come from home, I stayed somewhere else. You know what I mean, amen? You came from your location. You came here, and we worship the Lord together. But then guess what? We go back. We go back. And what do we do when we go back? You know, I think these wise men, I think that we don't know anything, no other references, but I think their life was forever changed. And if you don't agree with that, don't talk to me about it, amen? Because I truly think their life was forever changed. Why? Because they got to worship God. They got to worship God. And their life was changed. I think they went back to their own country different. I think when they got back to their own country, you know what I think they did? I think they talked about their experience. Why? Because they had so much joy. Because of what they worship Jesus. And they were so full of joy. You know, when you're full of joy, it's got to come out of you. Amen? You ever feel like you're about to explode? You got so much joy? Maybe you're at work and the people that you work with, you just know they're not going to understand it. They're going to think you're crazy, you're off your rocker, you need to be institutionalized or whatever it might be. And you say, man, it's just so filled up in me. It's so welled up in me. I just got to talk to somebody. I got to let somebody know that's going to rejoice with me. I know some of you feel that way because sometimes some of you have called me and said, I just got to talk to somebody. And you'll share with me something that happened at work, some opportunity to share the gospel, and you're just rejoicing. And an answer to prayer, an opportunity, whatever it might be. You know the maniac of Gadara? You know what he wanted to do? He wanted to go home with, he wanted to go with Jesus. You read the account, he wanted to go with Jesus. But what did Jesus say? Go home to thy friends and show them how great things the Lord hath done for thee. And so when we go back after we worship the Lord, I hope we leave different than we came. Amen? We leave different than we came, and we leave with this revitalized level of joy and excitement to go serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords that we just had the opportunity to worship Him. And we go out and we we then minister, we serve in various capacities, we witness, we do the work of God. And then we have the privilege of coming back as a corporate body of believers and worshiping the Lord again. You ever feel like, listen, I know some of you feel this way because you tell me, man, I was sick and I missed church for X number of times. Man, I just couldn't wait to get back to church. And it's not just about being in a club. It's about worshiping God corporately and getting what God has for us. And we get to bow down and worship Him. We get to adore Him. We get to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, that He alone might receive all honor and glory, for it's due unto His name. And after we worship the Lord for a little while, we're different than when we came in. And we ought to want to go out and just tell somebody about it. You say, but they're not going to understand. You're right, they might not. But you know, can I tell you this morning, there was a day that you didn't understand. There was a day that if someone had come to you and said, let me tell you about how we worship the Lord today, you'd be like, I don't know what you're talking about. Because you weren't saved. Amen? But now, we sing that song, He's a Wonderful Savior to Me. And I love that song. But you know what, there was a time that I couldn't sing that song. Why? Because He wasn't my Savior. And I didn't know how wonderful of a Savior He was because He wasn't my Savior. Does that make sense? And so this morning when we worship God, every opportunity that God gives us to come and corporately worship Him, that we come with the desire, singular desire. Why did you come to church today? Came to worship God. That's the only right answer. Came to worship God. Well, I had to get my Christmas card. No. You came to worship God. Amen? We have come to worship. That's our desire. We're determined. Why? Because our desire drives that determination. I'm not just coming to a club. I'm not just going to see a game. I'm not just going to do... No. I'm coming to worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And because I know what's happening in that place at that time, man, it gives me determination to get there. Because I want to worship together with my brothers and sisters in Christ. And then there's great delight. Oh, it's wonderful to worship the Lord together. Let us praise His name together. Let us exalt the Lord together. But then just as these wise men, they didn't stay there. They didn't walk with Christ the rest of His life and just stay with Him. No. They return back to their own country. And each of us have a place, a sphere of influence that we have to go back to after we worship. We kind of could look at it this way. We get up on the mountain peak of worshiping the Lord, and then you got to kind of go off the mountain and live where we live. Minister to whom we minister. And then we come back up to the mountain and worship again. And then we go back and we minister. Let us, as these wise men, we have come to worship Him. He alone is worthy of our worship. Let's pray together. Father, we love You. We thank You for loving us. Thank You for Your Word. God, I pray that You'd help us to worship You in spirit and in truth. Help us to bow down before Thee. Lord, help us to exalt You, to give You all the glory that's due unto Your wonderful name. Father, I pray that if there's one present here this morning that's not sure of heaven, one that's tuned in via live stream that's not sure of heaven, God, You know the hearts of those that are present. I do not. But God, if there's one that needs to be saved this morning, I pray that today would be the day of their salvation. They'd recognize that You alone are the Savior of the world. And God, they would recognize their need to accept Christ as their Savior. I pray for Your people this morning. I pray, God, that You'd help each of us that know You as our personal Lord and Savior to have that desire and determination to worship You. Thank You for the privilege. Pray, God, that You'd use us for Your glory. Would You move and work in the time of invitation as only You can, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Would you stand with me?